Then we had Spain and Russia, 1-1. Spain out of the cup really quickly.
On penalties.
Let's be honest, Spain were terrible this World Cup. But then, apart from that game against Portugal where they scored 3 goals, they just, like, they had all this possession and so little attack, so little penetration.
Yeah, they just, couldn't finish,
basically.
And I think
Russia deserved to beat them. This Russian team with the crowd behind them, I know everybody's underestimating them, and, like, they've got Croatia, who were also quite lucky to beat Denmark, I think.
Yeah, well, that Danish team really stepped up. Like, that was a team that was almost playing their final.
Yeah.
Almost in that game. Like, they were playing for each other. Every member of that Danish team stepped up and was like, no, we're not going out limply. We're throwing everything at this. And they almost pulled it off.
It went to penalties. Yeah, once again, it went down to penalties, so that's always a luck of the draw thing. Yeah. I think Croatia, well, they're a good side. I'm not going to say they're super lucky to get here. They deserve to be here.
Oh, no, they definitely deserve it.
But they know that if they've earned a get-out-of-jail-free card, they definitely used it in that game.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, phew, thank God we got out of this one. And that might spur them on against Russia, but I think Russia have the momentum.
Yeah, and
they've just beaten Spain, and they've got the crowd behind them. So I feel like Russia, I think, are just going to beat Croatia. It might come down to penalties again.
It might come down to penalties again. If it comes down to penalties, Russia's got it, I think.
I think so. I think Ikhanov is in, like, fire as a goalkeeper.
And if anything, penalties, we're the luck, and that's coming through. That's where the crowd support really adds that little edge. And that 1%, 2% that the crowd's going to provide is going to be enough for it. So, yeah, Russia on penalties.
Brazil, I think, in the end, everybody's highlights from that game was the ridiculous dive by Neymar. But I'm going to, everybody criticizes him. And I agree, the play acting of it is ridiculous because it was way over the top. But at the end of the day, he got stomped.
Oh, I know, yeah.
It was a legitimate foul on him. Yeah. He didn't need to go over the top like that. But, we all agree there are shades to the diving thing. Yeah. If the other player actually does an illegal touch on you and the ref isn't calling advantage and you're not or you think they've not seen it and you decide to dive to catch their attention, we all agree that's fine. Like, almost all football fans accept that as part of...
Yeah, it's an unfortunate side effect of not having perfect refs.
Yeah, and I hope with the VAR that will fall down because you can know that more and more off-field refs are going to just be like, nope, that was an illegal touch. You want to look at this. And that, I hope that'll be what happens.
Yeah.
There's the second level where you know they've made an illegal touch, you know the ref's seen it, and you want to make it look a bit more than the other one is so that you can definitely get a card out of it or basically trying to
increase the penalty,
or at least get into the other player's head even if the ref gives them a warning,
or get into
and
the
that one
head
is
about.
A 50-50. Nobody likes to be on the if their team's on the receiving end of it, but when someone from our team does it and gets a card and or gets another player sent off, we're kind of like, yeah, okay, that was a good play, like, well,
yeah, yeah,
like. And then there's the third thing, which nobody likes, which is when you've not been touched at all, or the touch was completely innocent and not illegal in any way, and you dive, which we know nobody likes.
No. That last one, definitely not. There was sort of an example of that not being that in the England-Colombia game.
Yeah.
Right, near the end, one of the English players went down.
Yeah.
And Colombia all up, diving. And you watch replay and you realize that the guy fell over because he was trying to get his feet out of the way, so he didn't fall. And he just sort of threw his feet backwards and sort of fell over because he was getting out of the way. And that just happened. He lost his balance, like, because he was running and then threw his legs up the side.
In that same situation, Lukaku had a very similar situation happen to him in the game against Tunisia, where he literally just lost balance, but it looked like the goalkeeper may have failed him. And he immediately called out to the ref and said, look, it wasn't a foul. And he owned up to it. Like, because he could have at least gotten a corner out of it.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
In the England game, the guy just got straight back up. Like, you could tell by his reaction, he didn't get up. He didn't lay on the ground rolling around. He just got up and continued running. Like, and that's, I think, where you can tell the difference is where an actual dive is where has the theatrics as well. And that's what people get upset with the other two as well, is because the illegal diving of there's no touch and people just go over and roll around on the ground, and there's all the theatrics going with it, trying to prove otherwise.
Yeah.
And then they're using those in the other two situations for increasingly more legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
It sort of has that same vibe about it. Like, it's all connected, which makes it really hard. Yeah, so if they can get rid of the actual legal diving, I think things would become better.
And let's be fair. Like, if Neymar had just fallen down and, like, not blatantly overacted, just acted well enough... Then nobody would be talking about it, because everybody would be like, it might have been a dive, but he was stomped. Like, that was blatantly a foul that deserved to be called.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, that was... I don't get quite into the whole let's have a go at Neymar thing, it was... You're right, it was a foul. I mean, it was over-the-top theatrics and everything, but it was a foul, so...
And if he were the only player in the world who dived, I would maybe see everybody's point, he's not.
No, there's worse than that.
And there's also worse over-actors than him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm by no means defending what he's doing, but I'm also at the end of the day going, like, people's reactions have been a bit over-the-top.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're both on the same point there. Like, it's... There was something there, he overreacted, but the reaction to his... overreaction.
Yeah, it was worse.
Is overreacted. You know, there's multiple overreactions going on here, stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, Brazil, well-deserved winners against Mexico. Yeah. Mexico flattered to deceive a bit. They played well in their group games, but they were never going to beat Brazil, and we called this one pretty easily.
Yeah. The problem with Mexico is they sort of peaked on their first game against Germany. They had an awesome first game, and then they've sort of slowly declined from there, and then you're right, someone that's never...
In a way, that's been good for the tournament, right? Now everybody thinks anyone can win this tournament, because Germany's not in it anymore.
But really... There's still the same. There's still some of the same old contenders floating around. So
true. The next game after that was an absolute classic. Belgium.
Oh yeah.
Japan. Arguably almost. I agreed with you with the 4-3, but it was very tough to pick between this game and that 4-3 game because Japan played brilliantly in this game. Let's be honest, a bit of that scoreline against France for Argentina was a bit flattering. France was leading 2-0, and they basically got a loss.
No, it was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1 to Argentina, 4-2 to France.
Sorry, they were leading by two goals for a significant period of time, and then nobody was thinking that Argentina were going to get an equaliser after they got that.
Oh, the last from about the 85th minute onwards, they were looking better than they were before.
Yeah.
They'll start because France was just closing up shop.
But, yeah.
And then they got Argentina got the equaliser, and then they almost got the third, should say, and then almost got the equaliser like in the last second of the game. Like they missed a header, had a header, and it just went wide, and the referee, cool, that's full time. So if that had gone in, which it could have, it was only a matter of 20 centimetres. So.
I think this game though was much closer.
Definitely. This was
the first half was a bit flat, and then Japan just pulled its game up out of nowhere. They played very, very well, and they still, I think, to their credit, they didn't try to park the bus after getting 2-0, two goals ahead. They still wanted to counter and keep their thing ready for attacks. But this Belgian side showed like they have tactical nous, and like Roberto Martinez got his old mate. got his subs in, and Fellaini especially, he was probably Martinez needs no introductions to Fellaini. He's managed him at Everton, and Fellaini came in and got the first goal. Chadli getting the third. All the substitutes basically getting the goals in that game. Yeah.
It was amazing the difference Fellaini made. Like Fellaini came on, and then that was just the game. The Belgium kicked up a gear after that point.
Yeah. And
Chadli, you're right. Chadli was also another great change. It really pushed
everything. Vertonghen got the goal from the set piece, obviously. But I think he had a bit of a poor game. And I think he is one of potentially the weak link in that team because he's not as quick as he used to be. Like his positional play is brilliant. That he's still good at. But I don't know that there's another player they can pick. Another player they might want to consider is maybe swapping Witzel out for Dembele, who's a fantastic player as well. Other than that, Belgium has picked Roberto Martinez as their coach because they know that they're probably their weak link is their defense, and they want a coach who's going to basically go, our game plan is to score at least one goal more than the opposition. That is how we win games. Yeah. It is not by...
We don't stop the opposition from scoring. We just score more.
Yeah. And if they score, we score one more. To be fair, their attack is more than capable of doing this.
Yes, exactly.
And the...
it's not like their defence is horrendous. No. They've got a good defence. And, I mean, they got one of the best keepers around in Courtois. So, I mean, he can make up for some of the actual frailties around.
And, even off the bench, they've got players like Michy Batshuayi. They've got Adnan Januzaj. And, as we mentioned, Fellaini. And Chadli, so there's plenty of good players in that bench as well. I suppose they could maybe give swap Vertonghen out for Thomas Vermeulen, but he's even older. So and there's Moussa Dembélé as well in their subs bench who wasn't even used. But I feel bad for Japan. They played well enough to deserve to win that game, but Belgium deserved it more.
Exactly. It was one of those games you watched it and. Japan went ahead, and then they got two, and you're like, oh, Japan, are you going to pull this out of the bag? And then, Belgium just rolled it on, and just that. I think Japan was almost at fault for their own success. They got the two goals reasonably early in the second half, which gave Belgium plenty of time to get back into it.
That's true. But I think all the goals that Belgium scored were two of them were off set pieces, and the third one came after a really great save from Courtois, and then he did a he started the counterattack.
Yeah, it was a great counterattack. Yeah.
So if Keske Honda had scored that goal from the free kick.
Yeah.
And it came very close to coming in. Then we would have been talking about that great, great game from Japan.
Yes, I know.
How well could they do again?
I don't want to take away from Japan. Japan had a wonderful game. You're right. If Japan had won it, they would have deserved the win.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with their performance. They did really well. It made for a wonderful game. You're right. It was the second best game of the round.
But Belgium, definite good, deserved winners. And now they're a team we know that can concede goals, but they're more than capable of scoring them. And heck, the 2002 Brazil team have taught us anything. It's that's not a bad way to win a World Cup.
No, exactly. The Belgium-Brazil quarterfinal is going to be fun. And once again, I feel like if there's a team that can beat Brazil, it's Belgium. So
I think so.
I think Brazil's obviously the favourite, I think.
I think Brazil are the favourites, but I feel like Belgium are going to win this game just because they've gone behind now, which Brazil haven't done this and come back. They're used to conceding goals and having games come close and still win, and they've played badly and won. They've got the 100% record still, so I think I'm going to back Belgium to beat Brazil.
I'm going to back Belgium for beat Brazil as well. This was in my 5 million pick them thing. This was a quarterfinal I predicted. It was a Belgium-Brazil quarterfinal, and I predicted Belgium to win it. So I'm going to stick with them and say Belgium's going to win it.
Fair enough. Moving on from there, the last set of games, we had Sweden-Switzerland. We both like Switzerland. We picked Switzerland. Sweden, though, showed why they're a good side, and they've managed to put away good teams. They've managed to get Italy and Holland before qualifying from this group, and they got rid of Germany from their group. And now they've gotten rid of Switzerland. So if I were England, I would be worried. This is a giant killing side. They're definitely taking down the traditional. And I think perhaps now is about the right time of the tournament for England fans to lose all hope, because they've now built it up to this amazing crescendo.
How much higher can it get? Before it comes all crashing down.
I'm very impressed with Sweden. I think they can definitely beat England. Yeah. England played well most of that game against Colombia, but they basically ran out of gas, and Colombia really should have won at extra time. They did everything but win, and then somehow England managed to get them back in penalties.
Yeah. Colombia, the problem, I think, is that they sort of didn't start playing football until about the 80th minute.
Yeah.
If they'd actually played, as opposed to wanting to get people sent off or whatever they were trying to do, because it wasn't clear with all their theatrics that were going on what they were really thinking in their head. If they'd been playing the whole time, they might have won 3 or 4-1. I mean, when they actually started playing, and actually started passing the ball around and looking like they were trying to score goals, they were ridiculously good. I mean, England was lucky to hold on for a bit there. Like, when Colombia scored their goal, they could have scored another one or another two almost immediately afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Yerry Mina's a big, tall guy and coming up there getting goals from set pieces. Of course, Harry Kane scored from that penalty, which...
Yeah.
Everybody argued that's blatantly a penalty. I don't understand what people are arguing about.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I would say it's not a penalty is because in previous England games, Harry Kane's been tackled worse than that, and it hasn't been a penalty. I mean, it's blatantly a foul. It should be a penalty. But for some reason, it hadn't been called up till that one. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how Colombia could spend 3 minutes arguing about it when their guy blatantly rugby tackled Kane to the ground. I mean... What do you expect, you know? Put your arms around the guy and then you lean into him and push him over. Like, even if you feel he's gone down easily, you're still not even...
You've made it super easy for him to go down easily. He doesn't need to do a Neymar at this point. No, you've done that part.
Yeah. I mean, the Colombian defender wasn't even looking at the ball. Yeah. Like, he had his arms around and looking downwards and just driving through. It was a rugby mall. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, England did show some grit to manage to stay on, and they did have a bit of luck, and you do need that in tournaments, but I think Sweden have more luck, and I feel like I said, Sweden have this habit of beating good teams that are more fancy than them getting the result.
I think it's going to come down to England's preparation, and Gareth Southgate said, I think, coming up, that they have to be careful, because their record against Sweden over the last, like, few years, it's horrendous.
Yeah,
I can't remember it off the top of my head, but the last 8 games, I think they've won one or something like that. And most of them have been in a competitive context. And he's like, I think Gareth Southgate said that they normally just, they don't take Sweden seriously enough. So a bit of it's going to be on preparation. If England actually prepare and show how they have actually been doing well this tournament so far, which is, you know, actually having self-belief and preparing and doing well and take the game seriously and don't, you know, continue what they're doing, which is not to be taken into history. I think they'll do it. But this is one big problem for them. Like, Sweden's not going to be easy for them.
No, I don't think Sweden's going to be easy for them. In fact, I think Sweden's going to be too hard for them. And I don't even think necessarily Sweden will need extra time to do it. I feel like Sweden will happily end up getting a goal somewhere in a set piece because somebody will make a mistake somewhere. And they'll be able to keep England from scoring. I mean, the 1-0 is what I think will most likely happen. But yeah, that's trying to be elaborate with my predictions here. But at the end of the day, I think Sweden will win and win before extra time comes into play.
I still have faith that the hype train will continue and that football's still coming home. So I think England will do it. I think it will be a low-scoring game. I think it will actually go to penalties again, and England will somehow manage to win another penalty shootout for some reason. I agree with you. Like, I think Sweden's going to score a goal, and they'll probably score first, but I think Harry Kane's not going to let that happen, basically. And he's got a goal in him, and he'll score an equaliser, and that'll send it through to extra time, and then penalties, and then England will manage it somehow again.
Fair enough. So that's the other one that we disagree on.
Yeah.
So just to summarise, Adam picked France, I picked Uruguay, we both picked Belgium over Brazil, and we have both picked Russia over Croatia. He's picked Sweden, and he's picked England, and I have picked Sweden.
Yeah.
And we've got if you're in New Zealand, we've got the Uruguay-France game at 2 a.m. I'm going to try and make this my first wake up because I just know this game's going to be a stunner.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously I'm going to stay up to watch Belgium-Brazil because we know that game's going to have goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and hopefully we will be back after these set of games some point next week and be able to talk about them some more.
Yeah,
see you next time.